pole shift?
Every once in a while, something causes the north end and the south end of Earth's magnetic field to reverse.
Yeah. They've got, like, some volcanic rock that, when it solidifies from being magma and it becomes hard, it's got little tiny pointers in it, much like a compass. And when it turns from liquid into hard rock, it points at whatever north is.
Chunks of it are aligned to the magnetic field. Mm-hmm. So all the little bits with the red arrows are pointing the wrong way.
Yeah. Or someone stirred them.
So do you think it's volcanically related?
Well, because the magma comes out and then it's when it settles down and it's beginning to turn into rock, it points at whatever north is. So, you know, old volcanic rock is pointed south, or what we call south. At the time it was magnetic north. When it turned hard.
But did a bunch of volcanoes going off cause that?
No, I think it might have just been a coincidence. Although, it could be, because the magnetic...
Volcanoes go off all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Cosmically speaking.
Yeah. But, the magnetic field that is north and south is generated by the core of the Earth.
Right. It's like a bunch of metal grinding on metal.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you've ever accidentally magnetized a screwdriver or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, but thousands, maybe millions of tons of material.
So for a magnetic pole shift to happen, the core needs to have a reversal. So would that be like the entire ball as a whole flips 180 degrees?
Or? See, I don't think it has to actually move to get the poles to flip.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would move in response to them flipping.
Sort of like drawn to them?
Right, like if a magnetic pulse hits the Earth's magnetic field and is powerful enough to override it completely, the Earth's field would align to that pulse or that new field that's passing through it.
Oh, okay.
And once it goes away, it would stay not necessarily aligned to that, but since north and south could be pushed wherever they want relative to the pulse's strength, they'd realign based on wherever they were.
That's good.
Which also means, like, we were just watching a thing before we started recording about a cosmic ray pulse. Mm-hmm. A pulse could also come from any other direction, 360 degrees by 360 degrees. And if it's powerful enough, potentially realign the poles along an axis that's not even close to what it is right now.
Yeah, they were saying that Alaska used to be on the equator.
Yeah, so it was all sideways. Mm. Are we talking about Pangaea times?
Well, I'm sure Pangaea had its shifts and whatnot, but I don't know. Maybe these had a hand in splitting apart Pangaea?
That's possible. See, Pangaea, like, the supercontinent breakup in general, I don't know what it's called when it's in the midst of splitting, is, like, they're not just, like, breaking apart east to west or north to south. They're sort of, like, spinning apart. And there's not really... Nobody really talks about which way is north in that. We just sort of look at it relative to the maps that we all know in our head.
That's true. It could be whatever it wants. It's up to the universe.
But we could find some of those volcanic rocks you were talking about from that kind of date and see if it has a pattern.
Well, it's... The pattern is... it happens every once in a while.
Right.
Earth life speaking. So... I think... it's been a while since I heard anything on this, but... it's definitely possible to happen soon. I mean, the sun flips its poles every single 11 years.
Yeah. It is a ball of plasma, though.
Yeah.
The sunspots themselves have differentiated poles when they're powerful enough.
Yeah.
And that's where all the energy builds up until it snaps.
Goes flying
at us. And ejects mass at us. That is a strange thought. Like, the sun behaves more like a ball of liquid than a ball of fire. Or, well, a ball of gas. I don't see, that's the problem. Like, it sort of acts like a liquid, it sort of acts like a gas.
Sorry, I was just pondering about this one video I saw where the Pangaea continent was basically the entire Earth. And slowly it started to grow as a planet. The planet got bigger, and then we have the oceans filling in all the gaps where the Earth was pulled apart. And I'm thinking to myself, if it continues to get pulled apart, the bigger continents will start to break up, and then we'll be left with just this ball of water. Now, if the atmosphere holds out long enough, couldn't all that water maybe sometimes or some way get up into the atmosphere and become more like Jupiter or Saturn, and maybe that's how those gas giants were formed, and they still have like this rocky earth kind of material in the very center with a little ball of metal, the iron core.
You're at least partially right.
Yeah.
The popular theory is that there is some probably about Earth-sized in a planet like Saturn or Jupiter. Like rocky core, but it would be under an intense amount of pressure.
Yeah, from all the atmosphere.
Also, if the continents are pulling apart, whatever, like even if the circumference of the Earth is expanding, the ocean would get shallower eventually.
What if the polar ice caps all melt?
Then it'd be 10 to 20 feet higher.
Yeah.
Same kind of thing would happen. I mean, it would shake shit up and we would be pretty much screwed. Well, large tracts of the population would be screwed. I wouldn't be. Right?
Yep. Broadcasting after the apocalypse.
Yeah, I'll just fight off evildoers and zombies with a couple of phone books tied to 9 feet of rope. Life will be like a kung fu movie.
Yeah. Sounds like a pretty devastating weapon, actually.
Man, it doesn't leave any bruises. So, in regards to the causes of pole shift, something seems to be able to potentially happen tectonically or chemically with the innards of the Earth to potentially mess it up or reverse it.
Mm.
But the sun's magnetic field reversal could also have that effect, couldn't it? If it were powerful enough.
I'm sure given the right circumstances, like how our magnetic field is weaker than it's ever been right now, and we're, I don't know if the solar maximum has happened or is happening, well, it's happening, but I don't know if we peak to the point where the sun's poles shift, like they're supposed to every 11 years, or whatever, well, but...
If it's powerful enough to cause something like that, wouldn't it be sort of an indicator that we're probably all screwed? Like, the sun's gonna explode?
Well, you know, we're oftentimes wrong about astrological events and happenings. But hopefully the sun's gonna hold out for, you know, at least another 100 years. Hopefully.
I would imagine a lot longer than that. I wonder if you were on a planet around a star that was going nova, how long it would actually take.
Yeah,
like, you could get through generations of people
as it's growing and moving towards, or if it happens
that,
like,
and
that day.
It fluctuates its energy output a lot, a long time before any expansion or shooting giant chunks off into planets, or
maybe that's why our sun's having its solar maximum and minimums. Maybe a normal sun is just real chill, just this burning ball of gas, but our sun's getting kind of crazy.
As far as we can observe, our sun is typical of most stars, so
yeah, but we can only, well,
if it's going out, then the universe might be a little troubled.
Well, you know, things are happening throughout the universe all the time. There's so many of everything that pretty much everything's happening all the time. And the older galaxies have, you know, they've been around longer. They've flown out farther away, apparently.
Well, even just you and I, we have iron in the hemoglobin in our blood, and that can only be formed by nova and supernovae.
Yeah, so we're just a byproduct. We're the crap. We're the fucking Danny DeVito of it all.
That's eloquent.
It's
we're like what?
Twins.
So, okay, so we're,
you know, the Earth is Arnold Schwarzenegger, and we're all the Danny DeVitos. Remember one of the quotes?
So like, Danny DeVito lives on Arnold Schwarzenegger's back.
Kind of.
Just sort
like
sort of Coatto's in.
Do you remember the story of that? The movie at all?
I remember Arnold is, like, genetically engineered to be perfect, mm-hmm. and Danny DeVito is the... is,
I'm simply saying that life finds a way.
Yeah, so Danny DeVito, they were twins, and Danny DeVito was the byproduct of the super
the evil one.
He was the leftover gene, because there was like 12 fathers or something like that to Arnold.
Weird.
Yeah. I think twins is less weird.
I don't know if it's
weird.
Genetically accurate.
Yeah, well, probably not, but I don't think twins is... I think twins is less weird than junior.
That one's pretty weird. But neither of those are weirder than Jingle All the Way.
Yeah, that's pretty true.
Where he dons a working jetpack that he got by punching out a guy who is going to play Turbo Man in a parade.
With the jetpack.
It's Turbo time. I think stars would fluctuate in their levels. Like a standard oscillation. Not unlike what we've experienced in our lifetimes. And I've also heard that there's a short cycle and a long cycle to that.
Well, I know that out of the last three solar maximums, the first two were fairly similar. And then the third one, the most recent solar maximum, not this one, but 11 years ago, the flare count was significantly lower. It was still a maximum and whatnot. And then the minimum was like the longest we'd ever seen. But I think in the middle of the minimum, it had it sort of like this weird fit.
Energy built up.
Well, like it spat a bunch of flares that normally would never happen in a minimum.
Solar diarrhea.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe the life of the sun is closer to an end than we all suspect, or there is some sort of outside force affecting it. And there's two things that I can think of that might be the cause of something like that.
Another system, planetary or stellar?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one.
And aliens?
I guess aliens could be another. So three.
Oh, okay, so what's the one I'm not guessing?
The galactic equator.
Okay. So that one, the changes would be caused by having more star systems closer to our solar system.
Well, the galactic equator is more along the lines of what the Mayan calendar says, I think, with the dark rift, where the sun and the center of the black hole and Earth are all on this galactic line, like where the gravity disk would be that forms the galaxy that keeps it in its shape, that instead of being this huge ball, it's more of a record, with the black hole being the little eye that you put the middle of the record onto the record player with.
Right, but it's that shape because the black hole is spinning.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the spinning rotation wants to push things out, and then that's being nullified, I guess, by the pull of the black hole back in to put things into orbit around it. So what we're talking about is just being near more stuff.
Yeah,
the
point where, you know, some of it's become stationary because it doesn't have the force to go up and down anymore. It's
right.
It's like a guitar string when you pluck it and it makes the sound, but it jangles up and down.
Do you remember when we talked about Venus and how its moons wouldn't be stable at most of the degrees not near perpendicular to the ecliptic of the solar system?
Saturn?
We were talking about both, but Uranus is the one that's got the 98 degree axis.
Oh, okay.
And its moons orbit around its equator, which is approximately perpendicular to the ecliptic of the solar system.
Mm-hmm.
The same would be true of a galaxy. So there would be zones about, what would it be, like 60 degrees above the ecliptic, where it would not be stable for a solar system to be. It would eventually either be thrown out of the galaxy or pushed into the galactic disk.
Creepy.
I don't think we're gonna be thrown out or anything, but like that, it's that spinning motion that makes those zones where you can't convert the energy into a stable orbit. You either go spinning out of control. Sort of like the reverse of how we got Pluto, right? That's the one that we think just sort of was captured.
I accidentally fell in. It's still in the process of leveling itself out.
But like when Andromeda, the galaxy Andromeda, eventually collides with us, there's those two dead zones are going to be populated and be moving.
Mm-hmm.
And some solar systems will probably be thrown out.
Doomed to a life of solitude in the universe.
But that life could be really long. I mean, if it's anything like our solar system,
yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't necessarily shake up the planets, maybe the outer ones.
But the sun's hold would be probably strong enough to keep the...
To hold on to at least the inner planets. And you'd just be sort of out in a void.
Hmm.
Until the sun burns out.
Hmm.
You'd pretty much have to build a Dyson sphere.
Yep.
Or like the thing from Halo.
Yeah. So another thing that might cause a magnetic reversal would be like a foreign body, like a planet or a star of some kind.
Yeah, that would be a lot like the cosmic ray pulse,
mm-hmm.
but obviously closer.
Yeah.
But we haven't detected anything. That's the thing. If there's something doing,
we haven't been told we've been detecting anything. Some newscasts have hinted towards it. But you know, we gotta look at what's going on. All the planets are showing signs of heating up, and you know, there's strange things happening all over the solar system. Without causing any light, a brown dwarf or a red dwarf? Brown dwarf is, it's just a sun, but it doesn't.
It's
provide,
like all infrared.
Yeah, yeah. So that provides heat, but no light. I've been actually meaning to get up, I'm usually awake anyway, but go out and just watch the sunrise to see if anything else pops up before the sun rises.
There could be something.
Yeah, most people are too lazy. I've been too lazy to actually go out and look. But then again, I don't even know if we'll see it up here in the northern hemisphere. There's, supposedly it's coming from the south, so the only way you can see it is from the southern hemisphere, and that's why they built the infrared telescopes down in Antarctica.
I don't know. I would think Australia or South America.
Because
Antarctica is so hard to do anything in.
That's true, but it doesn't have any atmosphere to get in the way or something like that.
Oh, true. You gotta go high up on a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Well, fuck. I'm gonna have to build a telescope. Can't trust the information, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, build it so it can look over the horizon. I don't think
a series
that's very
of
easy. Yeah. The Russians used to do that with radar antennas during the Cold War.
Well, so if a magnetic pole shift happens, you know how the drains for your bathtub and your toilet go counterclockwise. What do we do up here?
That's an urban myth.
Really?
It'll go whichever way is easier due to gravity.
Well, doesn't the magnetic pole have something to do with the gravity of it all?
No. There's gravity and there's magnetism.
So the water has nothing to do with it?
The way it's flowing?
Mm-hmm.
No. Which way the toilet flushes, depending on your hemisphere.
Well, that's good to know. I was all worried about, like, tidal events and things like that.
Yeah, like if everything... Okay, like if the jet stream reversed direction suddenly.
Yeah, some because of the different magnetism, but I think that might still kind of have some sort of effect. But, you know, if a magnetic pole shift does happen... maybe. the migratory animals that might use it, the magnetic field, to go wherever they're going.
Yeah, the birds definitely do. They have a little thing in their brain, I think, that's got a bunch of magnetically active fibers, so they literally know which way is north because they can feel it pulling on their head.
Whoa, that'd be uncomfortable.
But if it's fluctuating, then they might fly in circles in the open ocean for days and then suddenly collapse from exhaustion around a bunch of fishing boats, making them have some kind of panic attack because they think it's a Hitchcock film. Seriously, they supposedly had to get therapy, the fishermen.
Whoa.
It's just like they're out there doing traps or...
this huge cloud of birds.
Well, they're just like... they just, you know, puttering through the water and like, oh, here's a floating pile of 100 birds.
Oh, they didn't see them crashing into the water? They stumbled across
it? I think they saw some, but, I mean, a huge flock of birds is flying, right? Mm-hmm. And even if 10% of them died and fell into the water, it would be miles and miles of seeing birds' corpses spread out a little bit here and there.
Kind of like a plastic island.
That's... we're going to have to, like, find that and dump something on it that, like, temporarily liquefies the plastic so it all melts into a platform.
That's not bad.
And then we can sell model homes built on it.
Yeah, a whole brand new continent made of plastic.
Atlantis.
I heard an interesting thing the other night. The going trend was that Atlantis was what they used to call Earth. Instead of just one city, it was the whole planet. The entire planet was called Atlantis.
I believe it.
And, you know, over the years, it's digressed to just being a city that fell underneath the waves.
Yeah, I always wondered about that, like, when, you know, they discovered America, and that doubled the size of the map they had known. But before then, all of the myths and stuff, like, there was Europe and North Africa and a little bit in the East, and the rest was a big question mark.
We don't know what's over there. We're scared.
But that's where everything took place. Somewhere in there is the Garden of Eden, and somewhere in there is Atlantis, and like, oh, the whole world flooded. Well, what does that mean, really? 10% of the world flooded?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The 10% where there's a bunch of weird ape creatures that are trading shiny chunks of metal? Though, I don't think Atlantis was a continent that sunk into the sea. Ocean levels have changed, and lately they've been finding a lot of human settlements that were underwater, or are underwater now, but weren't back then.
Yeah. A lot of those...
filled with artifacts, by the way.
Yeah, a lot of those, they estimate it was during the Ice Age, because they're closer to the coastline. Lower altitudes, less snow and things.
Right.
It makes sense to me.
It'd be warmer, wouldn't it? Because the snow level is lower in an ice age. But the tree line is about the same.
Well, I think in an ice age it is. It's not the entire planet that freezes over. It's just the poles get real big.
Like, you know how the mountains get a glacier cap on them? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be lower if the temperature is...
oh, okay, yeah.
If the gradient of temperature is lower overall?
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah.
So they'd get... as well, the coast has always been a refuge for our species. I think that, there's a kind of pottery in South America, a kind of traditional pottery that is a lot like, think it's Okinawan pottery, and they think that some ancient, well, I guess they'd be mariners, took off from Japan and followed the coast up. This would be during the time of the land bridge across the Bering Strait, and just took the coast all the way down to South America.
Whoa.
And they even found corpses that bones, that apparently died from a congenital disorder that today only occurs in Japan.
Interesting. Man, what a hike that would be.
Yeah, yeah, and they're like taking canoes or whatever the Japanese equivalent of canoes are.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't need a compass, so I think we'll be okay.
Yeah, they have the stars.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, it might be that if there's a magnetic pole, there's supposed to be, like, multiple poles for a while before the poles finally settle back and, like, the magnetic north is south and magnetic south is north.
Right. It'd be whichever, or the way your compass would point would be towards whichever point is closest / strongest.
But if there's a pole shift, all the stars would be different.
A physical pole, geological
pole
shift.
Yeah. Sorry. Yes.
That would change things up.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think that most likely wouldn't happen. There's several ancient monuments that have star layouts on them, or aligned to stars, or something along those lines. And that's a way of actually stating the date that it was built.
Yeah, but like, the Egyptian pyramids are lined up to Orion's belt? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think so.
What were the Egyptians? When were they around?
A long time ago.
Like 6,000?
Sure, yeah. 6,
well, the magnetic pole shifts are supposed to be, like, I think 20,000 years apart, or something crazy like that. But, you know, in the life of the Earth, is multiple
times.
I don't doubt
that the Earth has survived magnetic pole shifts without much of anything being noticed.
Yeah. But, like, you know, in the scheme of the Earth, the Egyptians aren't that old.
Right.
So that they were probably built looking at the same sky we are. But if there is a pole shift...
Well, the precession of the stars is 12,500 years.
You
so
mean, like, the ages? Like, with
like
Aquarius and whatnot?
The axis of the Earth is perturbed by tidal forces.
Mm.
So the North Star isn't always the North Star.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That whole cycle to go from one point all the way around is 12,500 years, approximately.
Jeez.
So the alignment, if it's of these ancient monuments or the depictions of how the stars were aligned, are telling you at what point through the precession you were.
Okay.
So if they still align, then there hasn't been a significant geological shift at all.
That's true.
But, like you said, a lot of the civilizations aren't really that old. Like, I'm thinking of Stonehenge. There's the one in South America. I forget the name. Machu Picchu?
Oh, and there's Puma Punku.
Chichen Itza. It's fun to say those words.
Ancient cities that are like 20,000 years old.
Tenochtitlan.
that
sounds like some Klingon.
Yeah, there's that. What some people are starting to believe is like this huge rock garden that's way older than anything. Like, it's older than Puma Punku, I think. Fuck, I can't remember.
And it has an alignment.
No, it's just real big stonework, kind of like the coral guards in Florida. But
is it like the Moai on Easter Island?
Yeah, kind of like that, but different varieties, and like they're so old that they kind of look like they're just normal rocks now.
But yeah, they get overgrown with moss.
Yeah, if you kind of like think back, like, okay, it's kind of like what we had to do with the Sphinx to realize that it was way older than anything else there.
That one also has some kind of alignment.
What is it? Doesn't it point to the summer solstice? Like, it comes up like right in front of it or something like that?
Well, and that... yeah, I think it is the summer solstice. But that also fits into the procession thing. So, that puts it... If I remember the thing I... watched or read, puts it at least 12,500 years before the pyramids.
God, that's so old.
So that if it can stay alive, or alive, aligned.
Yeah.
Alive too, though. The Sphinx is real, right? It tells riddles.
Oh, there's supposed to be little Sphinx statues in the sunken city next to Japan. Dragon's Triangle.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah.
The Silk Road made everybody's beliefs the same. Like, trading between the Orient and the Greeks had cultural influences to the point where the god that is the defender of the Buddhas in Japanese and China, well, Buddhism, Chan Buddhism, Zen Buddhism, is Hercules. Like, that's the translation.
Interesting.
And of course, the head of their pantheon of gods is a thunder god, like the Norse and the Greeks. We all worship the same thing. Pole shifting. In the end. It's all about magnets.
Yeah. Well, you know, we are just huge magnets floating around in a frictionless environment. What's up with the... There's an 8.6 earthquake a while back that actually shook the Earth off its axis and shortened the day.
Yeah, that one was... It didn't shorten the day, I don't think. So.
Well,
or the recent one moved it
6.5
inches, moved the axis.
That's
in
massive.
One event. So,
well, okay,
something's
so
going on.
The one that I heard, it shortened the day by like 0.056 milliseconds or something ridiculously small like that.
Are you sure it wasn't?
1-7-3-4-6-7-3-2-1-4-7-6-Charlie-3-2-7-8-9-7-7-7-6-4-3-Tango-7-3-2-Victor-7-3-1-1-7-8-8-7-3-2-4-7-6-7-8-9-7-6-4-3-7-6.
That would...
No!
Really mess up my day.
Would it, though? Would it?
No, probably not.
I mean, maybe it could trigger some earthquakes, and that would be very bad, probably for a good chunk of people. But life would, what am I trying to say here?
Jeff Goldblum?
I'm simply saying that life, finds a way.
Thank you, Jeff.
We're going to make it through it.
Yeah. So, a big earthquake, what'd you say it was? 6?
It moved the axis 6.5 inches.
So
I believe it was a 7.0 on the Richter scale.
So, that's pretty big. And then, like, I can't help but wonder, like, if all the little ones that happen kind of add up a little bit, too. You know, they might not be a huge amount, but there's lots and lots and lots of lots and lots of little earthquakes happening every day.
I think part of the way we treat them with the Richter scale sort of makes us think that they're all the same. Because seismic events happen, you know, when volcanoes go off, they happen when
dynamite's used.
Dynamite, yeah, explosions.
Yeah. Okay, that's a very good point.
They would happen also, like, in the abyssal depths of the ocean as new crust is being formed from the Rift Valley. And there's also the Rift Valley in Africa. And, hell, like an avalanche could cause seismic activity, or would technically be seismic activity. A rock avalanche.
Have you seen that, like, sand geyser?
No.
They're pretty wild looking.
I'm gonna have to put a link to that up. Tell me more.
It's basically just like your everyday geyser, like Yellowstone, but it's not shooting out really hot water, it's just shooting sand everywhere. It's like a pocket of gas is being released and it's shooting up through the sand, and as it shoots up, more falls down and around it. Kind of, I guess, in the end, it might make kind of a sinkhole.
So it's sort of like quicksand?
Kind of, yeah. It's more... I don't know. I have nothing on it.
If it was, say, like a volcanic thing, the sand would be melted into glass.
Mm-hmm. But there's like...
Which would be awesome.
Not a heat. It's just still saying sand. It's just this geyser.
So it's just pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Sand is... not to be trifled with. I wouldn't want to be in the middle of, like, the Sahara and dunes.
Yeah.
Like, you fall off a dune and roll down hundreds of yards, potentially.
Yeah. This weird ocean of little tiny rocks. Little tiny... Ugh. Yeah.
That slide over each other.
Yeah.
There's insects that exploit that to catch things. They just have a pit at exactly the right angle that if an ant or something walks in it, their feet push the little grains out of the way and they slide down. It's like the Sarlacc pit in Return of the Jedi.
I was gonna say, that sounds vaguely familiar.
I'm simply saying that life finds a way.
George Lucas can see the future.
So can, is it Ridley Scott and David Cameron, Aliens?
Mm-hmm.
Everything that those things do is in the insect world in some form. And worse, in the reality. Reality is much worse.
It's a good thing insects didn't evolved to be people-sized.
Yeah, even if they were, like, a
dog,
10 times bigger than they were.
Yeah.
There'd be some weird wasp that lands on your back and injects its larva into your brain, and you walk around like a dumbass for a while until you drown yourself.
For the little wasp larva.
Yeah, because its next stage is aquatic.
Mm-hmm.
And it needs your meat. Probably eat the bits you don't need first. Be like, like Wrath of Khan.
Yeah.
Not quite domesticated. Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground on Pole Shift. At least as far as the information that we each have. And I'm not afraid.
Yeah. You know, whatever may or may not happen. The Mayan's Dark Rift occurs on the winter solstice.
Oh,
which is, isn't that the point where the Earth is farthest from the Sun?
That would make sense. Well, it's when we have the shortest day.
So wouldn't that be the closest?
When our piece of the Earth is furthest. I don't think it has to do with apogee and perigee.
Okay, but isn't the solstice have something to do with the angle of the Earth?
Yeah, the axis doesn't change as it revolves around the Sun.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So either the south or the north piece gets more direct light.
Okay, so the south is getting more light right now. So
right.
They're closer to the Sun. So our south pole
they're
is
not
facing,
closer. They're, well...
Okay, so they're tilted towards the Sun.
Yeah.
Okay, so our south pole is tilted towards the Sun. The Sun's
correct.
South pole is a lot more active than its north pole. And we're about to line up with the bottom of our planet. It has a kind of a head start, we'll say, to being tugged by maybe the pole shift of the Sun as we line up with the black hole. You know, lots of seismic activity has been happening from planetary alignments.
Heliocentric
or whatever.
Is the galactic center supposed to be the opposite direction of the Sun?
I think so.
In alignment?
Yeah, that would make
sense.
So
the dark side is pulling on us tidally, so to speak.
Yeah, like it's... And a couple old races believed that the Sun was more of a magnifying glass than anything.
That's a little scary.
Yeah, so it would harness whatever was behind it and amplify it for us. So, you know, I don't know, it's just things to think about. Even if this sort of straight shot doesn't happen at a complete parallel. Because a lot of people say, like, oh, we line up every single day or every single year we line up with it. Yeah, but not quite like this. I mean, how often do we line up with the Sun? Sorry, I lost my train of thought.
How often do we line up with the Sun?
With, you know...
We are lined up with the Sun.
Yeah, I know. There was more to that question, but I forgot it.
Well, it's kind of reminded me of that movie Pitch Black, where they crash land on the planet right as the huge eclipse is happening.
Oh, yeah.
That lasts for a year or 11 years or something, you know, and all the creatures come out in the dark. The creatures are beside the point. But, do you think the galactic center would be exerting a lot of pull? Or to me, it seems like any chaos that's caused would be caused by things that aren't so aligned. Like a more noisy signal, so to speak, a gravitational signal.
I don't know, I like to think of us kind of as magnets. And, you know.
Well, there's the magnetic portion, but then there's the gravitational portion.
Yeah. So, the gravity would probably be amped up.
Do you think there's got to be some kind of magnetic field around the supermassive black hole at the center of the galaxy? Do you think that extends to... That it's powerful enough at its core to extend out to us to a point that would actually affect anything?
Yes, I do. I think it's... I think it not only extends to us, but way beyond us. Out to the furthest part of its little galaxy finger things. just like the sun and then the earth. Although I guess our magnetic field doesn't encompass the moon, but...
So I think the thing to watch will be the heliosphere. Then, with all the things we talked about, that is susceptible to a large change in gravity, a large change in magnetic field strength, radiation output. Yeah. Although, when you get down to talking about radiation, you're kind of talking about fields, and at a certain point, it gets so mishmashed together that nothing makes any sense anymore.
Yeah.
And that's quantum mechanics.
Yeah.
But we happen to have a probe in the heliosphere right now that pretty much just got there.
Nice. I wonder what it's telling us. Do you think we'll ever know?
There's been a few press releases about it, and I know that what they found was not what they expected, and there were a couple of times, if I remember correctly, when the craft reported increased like radiation levels and increased the speed of the solar wind increased from a given direction, and the part of the whole way they knew they were getting into the heliosphere was the magnetic field switch direction, or the not the magnetic field, the direction the radiation was going switch direction.
Interesting. So it made it through the Kuiper Belt.
I'm not sure. Where's the Kuiper Belt at?
I thought it was right before.
There's the Kuiper Belt and the Oort Cloud, and I get them confused.
Oh, yeah, me too. I think, yeah, the Oort Cloud is... The Kuiper Belt's the close one. The Oort Cloud is the one.
The Kuiper Belt is a region of the solar system beyond the planets extending from the orbit of Neptune, 30 astronomical units, to approximately 50 astronomical units from the sun.
Astronomical units.
That's the distance from the sun to the earth.
Yeah. Oh.
The Oort cloud, on the other hand, is a hypothesized spherical cloud of comets which may lie roughly 50,000 astronomical units out. One light year. The heliosphere stops before the Oort cloud, then.
Okay.
Because it's definitely not out that far. It's only been, what? Coming up on 50, 60 years? Since we started shooting shit into space, and...
With the precious gold?
Voyager and Pioneer were, what?
The 70s?
70s?
I think it was the 70s.
So, wow, coming up on 50 years if you launch something in 70. Of course, it's... Voyager was 77.
And that's the one that made it? Or it's either Voyager 1 or Voyager 2, whichever one we didn't lose contact with.
Yes. Well, technically, they're both still going out there. We just can't verify the other one. We're going to have to fly out and get it. Put it in a museum. It belongs in a museum.
Song do you want to do tonight?
I'm not sure. should be space themed. And not shitty. We could try putting a string into YouTube based on our criteria.
Okay.
So, space. Oh, wait. I know.
It is a beard. A fine, full, dignified beard. One which commands respect and projects thoughtfulness and dignity. When I stroke the beard thusly, do I not appear more intellectual? No!
Deeply concerned about what is happening here.
I'm simply saying that life finds a way.